This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We've got a true Southlander here. We've got Lockie Hayes coming to us live from Wyndham. Morena, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. Anytime. We're here to talk about your new song, S.O.B., which stands for Son of a... I'm not going to say the word.
I think you
can all imagine what it stands for. Last time we talked, when you came on to discuss This River, which is a fantastic song, you revealed that you're a surfer. I want to know, are there many good surfing spots around Wyndham?
Not around Wyndham, no. This is the furthest from the ocean I've ever been.
I was going to say, man, it must be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, so surfing's kind of taken a sidestep to skateboarding. So I've gotten far more into my skating now than I was when I lived closer to the water.
Crack up. Are there any skate parks in Wyndham?
No skate parks. There's a wee pump track at the primary school, which is cool.
Nice. Do you do any teaching, any mentoring of skateboarding?
Yeah, I try to. I've actually got some skateboards kicking around in my classroom.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good, positive physical activity for students to be doing, I think.
For sure. And I think with skating comes kind of an air of coolness as well, which is always welcome.
It's cool. Skating's cool.
It's going to be cool forever, no matter how many skaters become soft boys. Anyway, I saw in the YouTube comment section for your This River performance at the Invercargill Mall, there was a comment saying, "Your river transcends all others. It's a very deep soul thing. Connectedness, universal consciousness. Everything is vibrating. String theory, energies, healing." Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's a great comment.
Fantastic. I think the guy was from Surrey or Sussex or something. It's amazing.
That's really deep. I love that.
Yeah, it's very, very awesome. It's beautiful. It's a big old hippie moment, which is cool to see. I think it shows that a lot of people really connect with that song.
Yeah, I'm glad that people do as well. It's like one of those things that you do as a artist. It's always kind of like, I'll do this because I'm enjoying it, and I'll put it out there, and we'll see if people enjoy what I enjoyed making. And so hopefully they do, and when you get comments like that, you're like, wow, they
really enjoy it
in a way I didn't even expect them to. So.
Well, I can't even conceptualize. It's fantastic. Now, the new track, S.O.B., I'm loving the kind of Johnny Cash inspired, like, guitar protagonist, old timey country guitar on the intro. Where'd the inspiration for that come from? Because it sounds so signature.
For the sound itself is
the guitar, really, the guitar on the opener.
Yeah, that's the kind of the cowboy aesthetic, isn't it? We sort of imagined. We went through a few demos where it actually faded out or ended with just the guitar sort of still plunking away, which was almost like symbolically kind of the cowboy riding off into the sunset a bit. It's got that kind of cowboy vibe, the outlaw. So you want that kind of, it's as though the hooves are clip-clopping along the desert ground. You've got that 1-2 beat, the sort of 2-4, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And that you can kind of imagine horses sort of clopping along to that, or an outlaw riding into town.
Totally. Have you ever ridden a horse?
No, I'm scared of horses. I suck around horses, I really do. I have to write songs about cowboys to outsource my lack of actual cowboyness, I think.
Yeah, you can't skate or surf through the desert, unfortunately.
the skateboarding cowboy would be a cool...
be
a cool movie.
Oh man, I like how the cover art kind of reinforces that with, you know, it's a kind of a plain little cartoony thing of like a desert scape, and then there's a cowboy hat lying on it, and there's a starry night, there we go, above.
That's a really, really cool piece of work by Simon Fowler out of Christchurch. So he's doing a lot of the artwork for the album as well.
Nice.
So it should all link together.
Mean. Now, the track itself is kind of about the damage to New Zealand's social fabric during the COVID lockdowns, as, you know, family and friends turned against each other. There was over political disagreements and, you know, conspiratorial thinking. You know, how did that play out in your life?
Well, in my life, I was very fortunate to have a lovely, peaceful lockdown. with my family. And I have always sort of followed those kind of scientific social media pages. So I was kind of like, I was probably as anxious as other people, but I was also able to rationalize it a wee bit. But the people that, there was people that really did become SOBs a wee bit. And I always thought, looking at those people you'd see in these chat forums and comment sections and things, people just caps locking and typing angry things. And I always thought, they're not actually that angry, are they? They're probably scared more than anything in the world. Because it was a scary time. There was a lot of anxiety going around and a lot of ridiculous amounts of misinformation as well that was being lapped up through some sort of level of comfort with these people. If there was something that looked as though the world was still somehow in control or order, you know, that's a feeling of comfort. It's not true, unfortunately, but people were taking solace in the fact that it was actually a huge government ploy, or it was something that was controlled, rather than what it was a completely random and unpredictable event.
Now, I've heard some people say that, you know, with religion and different forms of, I guess, understanding the world kind of going out the window, there's other things that rise to take its place, like nationalism, and I think more modernly, conspiracy thinking is kind of a way to make sense of the world these days.
Yeah, it does sort of seem to be that way of... You should always be connecting dots, I suppose, when you look at the world. You shouldn't just live blindly, but I think there's sometimes people connecting very interconnected dots together and going, oh, well, this must be what is happening.
Yeah.
But really, when you think about the amount of coincidences in the world and just how random the world is and how little control we as tiny human beings have in the universe, I mean, you've got to sort of, you either have to embrace that theory of living and that philosophy or you have to find something to fill that void with, like you say, by putting some sort of conspiracy, some sort of theory, some sort of theology with it. Otherwise, you could lose your mind.
For sure. Many people have. I think we saw that in 2022 with the Parliament protests. I think people still don't really think about that, but yeah. That's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, that was pretty scary, eh? Crazy time.
So with that kind of thinking during COVID and seeing all these horrible things happen, did that affect your relationship with social media?
Well, it did. But I studied media at the great University of Otago.
Shout out.
And I have always been interested in it. They sort of say it's like, when you pull apart your favorite toy, it won't ever go again, but you'll see how it worked.
Yeah.
So I kind of see social media from a perspective of, I can see the strings, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see the strings being pulled, and I'm always like, oh yeah. So I retrain my social media quite often, like every month or so. I'll go and join a crazy random group just so that the algorithms don't know what to expect from me. So, yeah, that's right. I'm into 1970s gardening practices now, okay? And that's what I like. So try and sell me things now.
Keep them on their toes, eh?
There was a lot of people around that time who got completely off social media, and fair dues to them. I didn't, because I wouldn't say I enjoyed watching it unfold, but I took interest in the way that those things were being perpetuated through the social media.
Yeah.
I took an interest in watching how they came about, and a lot of that is where the song came from, was you just see your people from all around the world just yelling into a box.
Yeah, and it's it's not a real way of connecting to people, unfortunately, and it's just a waste of time. The only people who are benefiting from it are the social media companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the unfortunate thing. There's a bit of a subtle yet quite weird kind of pitch dampening vocal reverb on your voice throughout the track, and especially on the opening moment. You know, do you think that adds to the kind of weird sense of alienation?
Yeah, well, that was a bit of a master stroke from Delaney Davison, who produced it.
Yeah,
he put the voice through this kind of crazy echoey flanging thing machine, so it was super loud in the studio as well. so that echoey wasn't just a subtle thing in the background.
True.
And so I was like, what is going on with this? But then when you hear it and it does sound so desolate and kind of lonely in an ethereal sort of way, I was like, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Because it is essentially it's a song about alienation and feeling anxious about the world and probably angry. And you know, the character sort of apologizes at the end. So I would like audiences to make what they want from there. But I always sort of think, yeah, this person isn't a bad person.
Mm-hmm. Your microphone's kind of stepping away from us.
Sorry.
Yeah, I might want to put the other headphone in. I think that was there we go. That's much better.
Okay, sorry about that.
So
the character in the song, I would like audiences to take what they want from it, but the character kind of apologizes at the end of the song, which I think, you know, this character isn't actually a bad person, but they are caught up in a difficult time.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons not to trust certain mainstream institutions and the government and whatever. There's certain reasons to not have trust in all of them. But I think there's a give and a take there, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And you can't win by fighting everything, can you?
Exactly. The new album is coming out in May. It's called Sub Satellite, which I'm very intrigued by. Are there many more meditations from the COVID time on there?
No, not particularly. Like, I know a lot of artists have taken a lot of effect from that, but I didn't really take too much from, because I guess I'm not often pulling stories from specific time and place.
Mm.
It's usually more. It's usually grander than that, I suppose, that I'm taking from. They're usually more ideas that could exist anywhere and any time.
True. So there's no more kind of like time space based songs there.
As we talked about last time, take a lot from movies. Mm. So there's sort of a lot of those characters in films that could be any country, any time period, any gender, they're kind of a character trait.
Mm.
And I guess they reflect basic human emotions and understanding and fears. And so I kind of latch onto those things a bit.
Mm-hmm. Easy. Have you got any confirmed dates for Dunedin? I know last time we spoke, you were very, very eager to come here.
Yeah, we're in talks with a few people in Dunedin, some great friends of mine, Shaky Hollows. They're going to do some stuff later in the year, so I'd like to catch up with them.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a confirmed date for the great and legendary Fee Street Festival, Feastock.
Beautiful.
Which we will be performing at, so we cannot wait for that.
Nice. Will Delaney be playing with you?
No, I don't think Delaney will be playing with us. If he made a surprise appearance, that would be amazing, though.
That'd be legendary. Before I let you go, you know, last time we had you on, we had a quick chat about movies because you did film studies at the University of Otago. Have you seen any good films lately?
Yeah, I've been watching a few good films. I gave myself a good cry this week and rewatched Braveheart.
Oh, classic.
And lay down and had a good cry. There's a film out at the moment with Jude Law.
Mm.
I think it's called The Order. And it's a true story about a bit of a disenfranchised detective in the 80s America, and he's taking down a neo-Nazi sort of terrorist group.
Oh, yes.
There's the school bell ringing. And it's taking down a sort of neo-Nazi sort of terrorist group, and I found that very intriguing, especially the true story nature of it.
True. That sounds real fascinating. I love me some Jude Law, man. He's a timeless actor.
Yeah. I really enjoyed his performance. He played a kind of a, you know, washed up old drunk detective. Quite an old fashioned character, actually.
Mm, mm. The alcoholic lawman. Yeah. Classic. Cool. I'll definitely have to give The Order a guess. But I want to thank you for coming on the program. Is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Have a good day. Be nice to each other,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully share and enjoy my track.
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you for coming on once more. I hope Wyndham is treating you well and that the school day goes fast.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me back.
Of course, of course. All right, folks, that was Lockie Hayes. We're talking with him about his new track, S.O.B., which we're going to play for you right now. You're listening to The One. I'll see you later.
I'm here waiting, rolling round the bend. Come on down and I'll teach you one final lesson. I am here, darkness spewing from my brain, bloodshot eyes and thick disguise.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.